All right, Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1. Look here. Ask ye of the Lord rain for rain in the time of the latter rain. Now, why would he say ask for it during the time of it? Now, you can't just read the Bible. You've got to what? You've got to read it, right? Why would he say ask during the time of it? Wouldn't it just come? Wouldn't it just fall upon you? Why does he say ask for it? Well, we're going to get into that. Be seated. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you that we can come together on Pentecost Sunday. I want you to go to Joel chapter 1. If you're joining us once again, we're glad you're with us, and we appreciate you so much for joining us live. I feel like I'm wide open here, like I'm a target. This big podium's gone. It feels good. I feel like I'm with you now. So we're trying to clean up the stage and rearrange some things, so we'll see what happens. Joel chapter 1, verse 1. Did you enjoy that praise and worship? Yeah. Brittany did so well, and Dennis and Marcia, we love you guys. And we're so glad you're here today on Pentecost Sunday. This is my favorite Sunday of the year, John, because I am a Pentecostal preacher. I'm not ashamed of it, and I don't back away from it. Now, I'm classical Pentecostal. I'm not neo. I'm not the new Pentecostal. I'm classical, and that I still believe that spirit baptism and the evidence of spirit baptism is tongue speech. I don't just believe in the gifts of the Spirit and not spirit baptism. I believe in spirit baptism, and I also believe in sanctification. People want spirit baptism. They want the Holy Ghost to move in their midst, but they forget a crucial step into receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Number one, salvation. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Make a commitment to Christ. Many people are in a backslidden state and you have no idea. You are lukewarm, you're carnal, and you are in a backslidden state. That makes you not a candidate to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then there's sanctification. You know, when I was growing up, they preached it like that. You get saved, then sanctified, then baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe it happens at salvation, but then it's a continual process, sanctification. But people forget about the process, and they ignore the process of sanctification. So therefore, the Spirit of God isn't moving like he did in the New Testament church. Why is that? I mean, my Lord, they did not have the printed page. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have video, Facebook Live. But yet they evangelized the known world, most if not all of the Roman Empire, within a matter of 20 years. Without any of that. We've got all of that, and we can't evangelize our communities. Why is that? Because there's no power. And why is there no power? You could have, it's not preachers. We got enough preachers. Well, we've got more playboys than we do preachers. But the true preachers we do have, that's not the problem, see. No, sir. No. It takes the whole team here, doesn't it? It takes the unity of the body of Christ. You could have a preacher that could give a discourse on a dog that would make a cat bark at you. Silver tongue, shiny shoes, slick hair, preaching his heart out. But if there's no unity in the body, no separation from the world, there will be no move of the Spirit. That I can assure you. But on Pentecost Sunday, I want us to think about a few things. The book of Joel is interesting because no scholar in the world can give you a concrete date on when this book was written. And the reason they can't is because they don't know. And the reason they don't know is because I believe it applies not only to Israel of whenever this time was, but also to you and I today. The word of the Lord. I believe the Lord did that on purpose so that we could look at Joel and see the law of double reference in the scripture where it applied to Israel during this time and also applies to us today, thousands of years later. And we can glean from it. Look with me at verse 1. Now, this is going to wake you up today. The word of the Lord that came to Joel. I can stop right there. What is it? The word of the Lord. This isn't Joel's opinion. This isn't what he thinks is happening to the nation of Israel. No, no, no. This is the word of the Lord. And I want to tell you, it's the word of the Lord for you today, wherever you are. It's the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men. Listen, old guys. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your father? Now, something happened in 2020 that has never happened in humanity's history. There was a plague, a pestilence, that impacted the whole planet. That's never happened before. The whole world. Now, there have been plagues, but they were strategically centered in one part of the world or the other. But this plague covered the whole earth, every continent. And people were able to relate. That's the first time that's ever happened. And you'll be able to tell your children, just like Joel and what Israel was experiencing. He was saying, what's happening to you? You've never seen it, number one, have you? Secondly, he says this, look at verse 2. And tell your children of it. Let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. People will be talking about this for generations. But I pray that when it comes to you and I, as the body of Christ, not only will we be talking about COVID-19, but that we will be talking about the blessing of the Lord that came after it and the outpouring of the Spirit that follows it. How do I know that's a reality? How do I know that's a possibility? Well, continue with me. Look at verse 4. That which the palmer worm hath left, the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left, hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Now, this is interesting because Joel is talking about the vegetation being destroyed in the land of Israel. There is no oil, there is no wine, there is no wheat, there is no blessing. These insects have eaten it up. Many believe this could have been an army and that this was just a picture of an army that came in to invade Israel. That could be. But either way, they are seeing the wrath and the judgment of God. God caused this. God caused it. God caused it for the very reason that he wanted his people to open their eyes. Now, this teaching that says God doesn't allow anything bad to happen to his people, oh, yes, he does. And sometimes he causes it. And if he doesn't cause it, I guarantee you he allows it. Because nothing happens outside of his power or authority. So either way, he's directly or indirectly causing it, isn't he? And sometimes he allows these things to open our very eyes. And I believe he's allowed this to happen so that the body of Christ, not only in America, but all over the world, will open their eyes to the fact that God is speaking to us. And that God is trying to get the attention of the church. I believe he's trying to say, listen, everything you've been doing and everything you've been trying does not work. You can have the biggest, most beautiful building. I was in one yesterday that's been bought by a university in town. They're going to make it a parking lot. Big stage, lights. But people are tired of it because they want the real deal. They want the power of God. They want the moving of the Holy Ghost. That's what people are hungry for. Not the big lights, not the big stage, not the big music. Not the shiny shoe preacher. I'm telling you, they are ready for the real deal. How about you? Are you ready for it? Huh? Do you want the real deal? Do you want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? I believe God's saying everything you're trying to do, every method you're applying that are usually methods of the world, they will not work in the kingdom of God. Now, I want to tell you something. We talk about Pentecost on Pentecost Sunday. Do you know the history of Pentecost? Some of you may. Some of you may know a little, and then some of you may not know a thing. Well, let me school you just a little bit, all right? John Wesley, 18th century, when America was being colonized, he comes over here from England to Savannah, Georgia, preaches to the Indians. They won't have any of it. They about kill him. Send him packing back to Europe. He comes back. He's had an experience with God to where he feels that he's experienced the perfect love of Almighty God. And he calls that sanctification. He calls it holiness. Now, you have to understand something. John Wesley was fighting a crowd of people that believed that God was sovereign and that he controlled everything and that if he elected you to be saved, you were going to be saved. If he didn't, you wasn't. So it really doesn't matter. Live any way you want to. That's what John Wesley was fighting. John Wesley comes on the scene and says, hey, buddy, you've got a choice. You've got free will. You can make a decision to follow Christ. You can make a decision to live a holy life. And they scrutinized him for it. He comes back over to America, establishes revival the second time. He felt defeated the first time, but he comes back. And when he came back, he had experienced the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, the Spirit baptism with tongue speech. He comes back over here, and he's well known as one of the greatest revivalists of church history. And he sets up tents all over America. He starts a church, maybe you've heard of it. It's called the Methodist Church. Do you know what his methods were? His methods were setting up a tent, and they would pray for 10 days and have a service one day. That was his method. His method was sanctification. He preached justification by faith, and then he would preach sanctification. In other words, he was saying that if you're born again, there's going to be some fruit in your life, and sin will not reign in your life. Boy, that's a message missing today, isn't it? He declared that sin shall not have dominion over you. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's what he declared. And he pushed people to consecrate themselves to Jesus Christ and allowed sanctification to take place in their heart. Some of you need to be sanctified this morning. You need to experience sanctification because there's little foxes spoiling your vine. There's flies in your ointment, and it stinks in the nostrils of God. You say it's not a big deal. Nobody really knows about it. I only do it every now and then, but I'm telling you, when you stand before God, he will not forget it. And I'm telling you, it will hinder the move of the Spirit in your life. It will hinder your peace. It will hinder your strength. It will hinder your ability to call upon God and get a prayer through to heaven. Well, I got three more amens than I thought I would. Verse 12 of Joel 1. Look here. Look what happened. Boy, this is a picture of America if I've ever seen it. The vine is dried up. The fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Joy is withered away from the house of God. I've been in this a long time, so have you. You can see the difference in people in the church than years ago. There is no expectation anymore. People used to wait in the parking lot to get into the building to get a seat for revival. Now you can't get half the church to come to revival. You know why? Because there's no expectancy. There's no expectancy. When I was growing up, I was a wrestling fan. And we'd get magazines. And I didn't know who beat who until I got that magazine. Now you can see it on Twitter, John, right when it happens. There is no expectation. I can remember opening up that thing and saying, oh, I want to see who won here. Wow, I can't believe it. I was so excited. It was the same way in the church. People were expecting a move of the Spirit because they couldn't get the goosebumps from a YouTube video. Uh-oh. What you call goosebumps isn't the Holy Ghost all the time, let me tell you. I thank God for all of it, but I'm telling you, we need to get a sense of expectation once again. All right, listen to what he says. Gird yourselves. Lament, ye priests. Talking to the preachers, isn't he? How, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offerings and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. There's nothing for you to do. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. In all the prayer meetings we've had, I think we've had 11 at the most. 11. Think about that. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God. Cry unto the Lord. Alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand. And as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Folks, he's talking to you and I today. I said he's talking to you and I today. The day of the Lord is coming. Let me tell you what men like John Wesley and Charles Finney preached. They preached the return of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. They preached an imminent, soon return and rapture of the church. In fact, Charles Finney preached it so hard that he put a bench in front of the podium and he called it the worry bench. And he says, if you're worried about your eternity, come to this bench and let's pray through. That's how we got the altar call. Because they would preach so hard, they would preach the coming of the Lord, that people would grip the pew to where their fingerprints were left in the wood because they were afraid for their soul. I'm telling you, hell is still real. And hell is still very, very hot. And hell is still for eternity. When you go, you will stay forever. Amen. These little foxes spoiling your vine. I'm telling you now, you need to get it out of your life. Experience sanctification. I know this is old-fashioned holiness preaching, but I'm telling you, that's all I know. That's all I want as well. I'm telling you, I'm so tired of these playboys preaching propaganda and self-help. It's all about me. Cry about me. Happy about me. Let me tell you who you are. You are lost, sinful, unrighteous, and without the red shed blood of Christ, you are nothing, but with it, you are everything. There's nothing good in me, John. Apart from Christ, I'm just as selfish as you are. I am. I'm as self-seeking as you are, apart from Christ. And so are you. Because my righteousness is like filthy rags. Oh, glory to his name. But I'm glad one day years ago, I'm telling you, if you're in Christ, you don't have a past. Oh, old things are passed away and all things will become new. You don't have to look in the rearview mirror anymore. You can just look straight ahead in the glory and the power of Almighty God. If you don't have a past, raise your hand and shout amen. Oh, I know it hurt. I know it stung. And I know there's pain in your past. But that's why he went to Calvary. He took every bit of it. He took every sexual molestation. He took every sin, every pain, every drunken parent, every hurt in your life. And he took it to the cross so that you can live. Don't use the crutch. You're not who you used to be. Go to chapter 2. Let's look there. Why not? Verse 1. I'll tell you, I'm about to burn up and I love it. Reminds me of the old days. When I was 9 years old, I can remember this little church in the holler of West Virginia. One light in the middle of the building. That preacher up there, I could see him to this day. That's why it's important to have your children in church. When we have these family services and they see me up here acting nuts, they're going to remember this. And it's going to ring in their heart one day. And they're going to be thankful to God that you brought. Have I lost my mind? Oh, yes. And I've never been happier. Glory to God. I haven't. I'd rather be a nut for Christ and stand before him and him say, well done, good and faithful servant, than to please anybody in this world. Blow the trumpet in Zion. I was studying this passage and this commentator said it's like ringing the church bells. That was the equivalent. They blow the trumpet. And it was a call to assemble together in the house of God. Well, I tell you, we might just get these chimes working up here. And at 10:55 every morning, we might just sound them off. That can be the call to come to worship. Amen? Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord comes. For it is not, you know, I haven't heard that sermon on YouTube yet. When you're scrolling through your social media, these little clips you see preachers give, all this inspirational stuff about how God looks at you. Let me tell you how he looks at you. He looks at you like a filthy rag, apart from Christ. But in Christ, he sees Christ. And that's who it's all about. It's all we need is more preaching to get us to think about ourselves. Joel is telling them the day of the Lord comes, and it's nigh at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess. Oh. Thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong that hath never been the like. Neither shall there be any more after it, even to the year. This hasn't been fulfilled yet. Wasn't fulfilled in Babylon or Assyria, their invasions, or the Medo-Persians. You know why? Because they're gone. Nobody talks about that unless you're teaching the Bible. But he's referring to an army that will come up against the nation of Israel one day at the Battle of Armageddon. And before that battle, a trumpet will sound. And that will be the call for the Church of Jesus Christ. 7 years later, a battle will gather. This day, ladies and gentlemen, is upon us now. It's upon us now. The Lord is coming. Go to verse 12. Joel tells them that if you will repent and cry out to God, that's what I'm telling you this morning. If you will repent, it doesn't matter what you're facing, financial difficulty, marital troubles, it doesn't matter. If you will cry out to God and repent, accept Christ as Savior, ask Him to sanctify you. Listen, some of you need to come back to Christ today. You need to recommit your life. Well, so-and-so is going to know I'm backslidden. Well, who cares? Don't you want to stand before God and Him say, well done? Or do you want your buddies to pass by you and say, why is so-and-so in the goat line? Huh? Glory. I had somebody say, you know, Pastor, there, people leave bad comments on Google Review about this place. And I said, I don't care. I don't read them anyway. I don't. All that tells me is I'm doing something right. Glory to God. They say, don't you care what they're saying? Absolutely not. Here's why. Because I'm out to please God. And if I please God, it doesn't matter who I please here. Well, what if they take you off of Facebook and YouTube? Dennis, I was preaching before Facebook. I was preaching before YouTube. And I'll be preaching way after. My question to you is, what you going to do when they take me off of Facebook? Which one am I looking at? Which one? What you going to do? When they kick me off again, they will. Because, you know, well, okay. Look at verse 12. Listen to what he says. I love this. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Therefore also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart. The Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not the person that takes an hour, if they can, on Sunday morning, if it doesn't impede with the tea time and the job and lunch and everything else, as long as it's convenient for you. No, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to God must first believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want the reward of diligently seeking God. But if you're going to diligently seek Him, you're going to have to get rid of social media, turn the phone off, cut your television off, get your Bible out, and say, Lord, sanctify this vessel. Whew. With fasting, when was the last time you fasted? With weeping, mourning, till every hindrance. Listen to this. Do it until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored. Some of you, as I stand before God today, there's broken fellowship in your life. There is. I'm not talking to your neighbor. I'm not talking to your spouse. I'm talking to you. There is broken fellowship. And the Lord is saying to you today on Pentecost Sunday, because I don't know about you, but I will experience revival. Whether I'm standing here or standing somewhere else, I will experience revival. And I hope and pray that if I'm here, you get on board with me so we can experience it here. I've done all I can. It's up to you now. It's up to you. I've gotten you a building. We got a good place to have church. You've got TVs. You've got sound. You've got all these things. It's up to you now. It's up to you. Till broken fellowship is restored. Verse 13, rend your heart, not your garments. He's saying, open up your heart. Don't change your clothes. Let me tell you what the Lord wants. Preacher, they watch me, I know. He doesn't want you to change your lights and change your sanctuary. You know, 15 years ago, we were painting sanctuaries white. Now they're painting them black. You see so many changes in the church over the years, you know. And it's just trying to apply methods that will accommodate and attract people to come to church. But let me tell you something. If that's what you've got to do to get them there, that's what you're going to have to do to keep them there. And so many pastors are so burnt out on trying to figure out how to get people to come to church that they have failed to get into the mountain of God and get into the Word of God and declare what thus saith the Lord. We might be like Jeremiah, Dennis. We might preach to a people all our lives and not get one convert. Well, that's, I'll tell you, if they tell you that during the MIP and the Church of God introductory courses to becoming a minister, I doubt many of them would even do it. Well, if they says, you might not have a big church. You might not win anybody to Christ. He may just be calling you to preach and nobody's going to answer. That's what happened to Jeremiah. 50 years, he declared, thus says the Lord. They hated on him. They tried to kill him. They made fun of him. Think about that. Whew. Gosh, I'll tell you. I don't know if I'm mad or anointed. Doesn't matter, it's still good, isn't it? All right. Let's continue verse 13 here. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Look at this. For the Lord your God, he is gracious. Whew. He's merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And he revokes his sentence of evil. Listen to the Amplified. When his conditions are met. When will things change for America? It won't be 22. It won't be 24. It's when the body of Christ repents, rends their heart, and surrenders to Christ once again. That's when it'll change. If it was a man, it would have happened in 2016. Now look what's happening. I'll tell you why it's happening. Because the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, has become so comfortable, they've become lazy. So comfortable, they've become lazy. And here's my prayer for you. Now, you may not want to come here after this, but my prayer is that he shakes your life up. That's my prayer for all of you here. Now, if you don't like that, there's four doors you can walk out of right now. I mean that. I'm driving a bus. Some are going to get on, some are going to get off. Lord told me a few weeks ago, don't even look at their faces anymore. Think about that. That's what he told me. You know why? People will fail you. I will fail you. But he never fails, does he? And if he could speak through a guy like me on a day like today, he could use anybody if you were just willing to be used. I want to preach this like I feel it, I'm telling you. Look at verse, and I'm not in a hurry either, so. Verse 14, who knows but what he will turn and revoke your sentence of evil and leave a blessing behind, giving you the means with which to serve him. You know, there's this idea that God has a plan, and if it happens, it was meant to happen. I'll tell you something. My Bible doesn't teach that. God is not a prisoner to his own sovereignty. He's not bound by a preconceived plan that he has. He's not looking at Dennis and saying, well, he's praying hard, but this is my plan, buddy. He has the right to change a plan anytime he wants to. And according to God's word, it's contingent on us a lot of times. Because he says, if you will seek me with your whole heart, if you will meet my conditions, then I will remove the judgment that is upon you and bring blessing to your life. You don't believe it? Read with me. Look at verse 23. Let's jump down there. No, look at verse 19. Yea, the Lord will answer. Oh, yes. When you repent before God and you open up your heart and you surrender your life to Christ, I assure you as I'm standing here today that he will, in fact, answer you when you pray. Oh, yes. You're going to have to pray for me, folks. Behold, I will send you corn, wine, oil, and you shall be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. I'm telling you, God can turn around anything in your life. Anything. Any circumstance, any situation. He can turn it around if you meet his conditions. Amen? Yeah. Glory. Where am I? Somebody help me. I'm sleepy. Look at 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. Now remember, he's not only talking to Israel, he's talking to us today. Put your eyes on it. He is giving you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. In other words, the former and latter together at once. Now listen, I read you a passage in Zechariah that said, ask for rain during the time of latter rain. Now I want to say this today on Pentecost Sunday. This was fulfilled partially on the day of Pentecost. Well, how do you know? Because Peter quoted this passage. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. But that was the moderate rain, the former rain. The former rain in Israel would get the ground ready for the seed to be sown. And then there would be a dry season. We've been through a dry season because Israel dried up. And then May the 14th, 1948, something interesting happened. They became a nation in one day. Revived once again. And unto this day, God has his hand upon his covenant people. After the dry spell, then comes the latter rain. But Joel is telling us in the spirit world, the former rain and the latter rain together will come upon those in the last days. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palm worm, the great army, which what? I, who? The devil? No, I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God. Dear God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Eat in plenty and be satisfied, and you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never, never be ashamed. Now, who's ever experienced the Pentecostal blessing? One, two, three, four. I'm talking about spirit baptism with evidence of speaking in tongues. If you have, raise your hand like you're not ashamed of it. Now, here's what hinders a lot of people from receiving it. They can't rationalize it, and they feel like they're going to look foolish. I want to tell you something. That will hinder you from receiving Spirit baptism, the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Pentecostal experience of Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, where they were baptized in the Spirit and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Now, I can tell you this, just from personal experience. I was 12 years old. I went to youth camp, Church of God youth camp in Asheville, and I felt God call me to preach. I didn't want to go to camp. But this was back when parents sent kids even though they didn't want to go. Imagine that. And I'm glad I did because I received the call to preach the gospel. I can't tell you anything we played, anything we did, what I ate, how many girlfriends I got. Well, maybe I can tell you that. But I could probably think about that one. But what I can tell you is that in an altar with a bunch of other teenagers praying and seeking God, He spoke to my heart and called me to preach the gospel. I started preaching the gospel at 12 years old. You imagine that? The next year, I went. Now, when I preached, I'd stand there like this. My knees would have a fellowship meeting. I was so nervous. Dennis, my first sermon was 4 minutes long, and I had a 16-verse text and a prayer and an altar call. 4 minutes. I still got it written out, John. Man, I thought I'd had at least an hour. And I'm done, and I look at the pastor like, I don't know what else to say. But I went from that to the next year at youth camp, Church of God youth camp in Asheville. I didn't want to go again. But one night, somebody got up there and preached on Spirit baptism. I said, man, I want that. I didn't understand it fully. But I said, whatever it is, I got to have it. And I'd been in it my whole life. I'd seen it. And I said, I want it now. I go up there. Nobody laid hands on me. We were gathered in the altar, prayed a general prayer, raised my hands to heaven. I felt the living water flowing in me, you see. I can't explain it to you unless you experience it. And then the gift of the Holy Ghost, tongue speech began to come out of my mouth. And John, I kid you not, months later, I got a pastor asking me to preach a three-night revival. I hadn't preached longer than 4 minutes in my whole life. And this guy wants me to preach three nights to a church full of people and a bunch of youth whom I don't know. I go in there and I'm nervous. He calls me up there. Hands me the microphone, and it's like I turned into another man. Did I not? I preached for an hour that night, talking in tongues. People came and said, man, you sound like you've been preaching for 10 years. I said, this is my second time. We had several youth give their heart to Christ that night. And I baptized them the last night in water. And I'll tell you what the difference was. It was Spirit baptism. You don't need it for heaven, but I'll tell you what, I'm much better with it than I was without it. Can you do ministry without it? Sure. But I'm telling you, you can do far more exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think with Spirit baptism, which is the promise of the Father. Oh, God, raise your hands and begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not yet, Dennis. Raise your hands. Just praise Him for a moment. Holy Spirit, I want you
to manifest yourself in this place.
I want you to baptize people today afresh in the Holy Ghost. Lord, you do the work. Do the work today. Spirit of God, do your work, I pray. Jesus, baptize us today. Look at verse 27 or 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm praying for my lost loved ones. I'm praying that the old guys will have a dream. I'm praying that the young guys will see visions. And I'm praying that they'll all prophesy and exhort other people about what God has done in their lives. That's my prayer, because I believe it can happen. You believe it, shout amen. And I will pour out upon the servants and upon my handmaids in those days. I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood, fire, pillars of smoke. So he goes from the last days, the outpouring of the spirit, to the tribulation period. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever... Are you a whosoever? Shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be delivered, and, the Amplified says, and saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who... Let me tell you. While we're on the... I'm really not in a hurry. If you got to go get your kids, you got to leave. Take off. I'll preach 3 hours if I want to. I got one that'll listen to me. I'm her ride home. Notice something. Verse 32 there. And I'm going to close it. I'm not going to keep you forever. Look at verse 32. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered and saved. I hear those sirens. You know what I think about? I did a funeral Friday for a 23-year-old young man who overdosed on heroin. Now, you try talking to a family who ask you, John, now this is pastoring, not this. When they say, did my boy go to heaven? They don't teach you that in the MIP. Call me old-fashioned, but I still believe that God radically saves and delivers people from the yoke of bondage. I'm sick of people saying once an addict, always an addict. I'm up to here with that. When you are in Christ, I believe that the person who is an addict, they don't have to be an addict anymore. You might be tempted and you might be tried, but I believe the power of the Holy Ghost can help you resist temptation. Say no and say yes to Christ and have life and have it more abundantly. I still believe that. If you've been radically saved and set free, why don't you raise your hand right now? Don't speak that language in my presence. I'm telling you, I'm a firm believer that when you're in Christ, you do not have a past. And then he says this in 32. This is the Amplified. Listen to it. I love this. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape. Everybody shout escape. As the Lord has said, and among the remnant shall be those whom the Lord calls. Escape what? How about the red blood moon? How about the judgment that shall come upon this blue marble planet to try the whole earth? Joel is saying there will come a day when that will happen. The Spirit will be poured out upon the remnant church in the last days. Not only can we experience the moderate rain of Pentecost, but I'm telling you that if we will set ourselves apart as an individual, as families, as couples, as a church, I'm telling you that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon this house, not only with the moderate rain of Pentecost, but with the former and the latter rain together upon the remnant church. And then when all hell breaks loose, and it will break loose, we can escape the coming judgment that shall come upon this blue marble planet, and we can stand before God. I still believe that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Are you going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air? I promise you I'll preach this every Sunday until it happens. I'm telling you. I thought to myself, go ahead and stand. I thought to myself, you know what? I talked about this in prayer meeting Thursday night. I said, they've already heard this, Lord. Raise your hands and praise him. Would you do it? Hallelujah. God, we honor you in this place. All right. Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. Now on Pentecost Sunday, John, I think you read it earlier, didn't you? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place in one accord. Not a Honda, they were in unity. What were they doing? They were praying, seeking God. Repentance. They called the solemn assembly, and at least 120 of them got together. They said, we're going to pray for 10 days. After Jesus ascended to heaven, they prayed, they sought God, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty, you know, revival comes suddenly. You can't make it happen. You can't work it up. It has to be a sovereign act of God, but it can and will come suddenly. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, set upon each of them, John. Literal tongues of fire, set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. Who gave them the utterance? Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about praying in the Spirit. We talked about that Wednesday night. I'm not talking about the gift of tongues with interpretation. I'm talking about Spirit baptism and the evidence, the like gift of tongue speech. Let me read this to you. Acts 2, verse 38. They may have it up there. Peter answered them, repent, change your views. And purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. That's the Amplified. Accept the will of God for your life. Do you want to know what the will of God is? It's kind of smart-alecky when people ask me and I give it to them. You don't know what it is? This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication and know how to possess your vessel in sanctification and in honor. Pretty good answer, isn't it? Do you know that's the Bible? 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4, that's the will of God, that you be sanctified, set apart from the world. When people look at you on your job, they ought to say, something's wrong with that guy. And take it as a compliment. When they see me up here acting nuts, I told the radio, I said, I'm done. If I can't talk in tongues, take me off. And they have. And that's all right. Now I can preach for an hour if I want to. And Casey's job's a lot easier now, isn't it? I'm free now, John. Glory. Can you tell? Don't reject it. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. If you're born again in this place, raise your hand. Put them down. If you've never been baptized in water, raise your hand. It's time to happen. That's the first act of obedience after giving your heart to Jesus Christ. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, is it up there? Absolutely. For the promise is unto you, shout me, your children, to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. What is the gift of the Holy Ghost? Now here's what we're going to do. Come on, Dennis, you guys, come and strum for me. Let's play some music. Here's what we're going to do. Do you know, come Holy Spirit? I know that. You've got to know it. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. Sing it again. Come on. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength. In your own special way. Luke 11:13 says this. If we be evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? I want to tell you, I'm going to receive a fresh baptism standing right here. Who wants to join me? Who would join me in this altar for a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost? Who would? Maybe you've received it. You've got foxes spoiling the vine. It's time to repent. Get it out of your life. And it's time for fresh fire. That's what it's time for. This is a Pentecostal church. There shouldn't be a person in this building that doesn't want a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how else to preach it. I mean, are you nervous? Are you embarrassed? What is it? This is a gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what it is. We just read Joel where he says, my people, the remnant people, will not be ashamed of him. I'm telling you, he's coming back for a people who are not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of the gifts of the Spirit, not ashamed of the moving of the Holy Ghost. That's who he's coming back for. Now, if you're watching live, we're going to sing and pray. I'm not going to touch anybody. We're going to raise our hands to heaven. These folks are going to talk in tongues. I'm going to speak in tongues. Anybody that's watching, if you want a fresh baptism, you can receive it today by the power of Almighty God. You can have it. Stand wherever you are, wherever you're watching. Raise your hands to heaven. Sing, worship. Yield your tongue to the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's not going to overpower you. He's a gentleman. But you have to yield your tongue. Yield your tongue. Worship him in this altar. Worship him all over this building. I don't want any hindrance to these folks receiving. Raise your hands and honor God this morning.
Open the floodgates of heaven.